Next on the 5 o'clock report.
It's in everyone's interest.
Finds a third dose of the vaccine can ramp up protection against the Delta variant.
Reckless government spending is causing inflation. It's hurting our poorest families.
The last place we want to face barriers is when we go to church.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. President Biden in the Keystone State this afternoon expressing optimism about bipartisan Senate negotiations on a sweeping infrastructure bill.
Looks like you've reached a bipartisan agreement on infrastructure. Fancy word for bridges, roads, transit systems, high-speed internet. Clean drinking water.
Mr. Biden claims climate change is an opportunity to create good jobs in the clean energy field.
My Build Back Better plan has incentives for electric vehicle adaptation, for increasing the amount of clean energy our government buys.
A bipartisan bill would be up for a vote as early as this evening.
We got an overview at lunch today. I think all of us would love to spend money on roads, bridges, airports, and seaports, but we don't want to raise taxes on Americans.
Rick Scott of Florida serves on the Senate Finance Committee.
We're already seeing inflation. Gas prices are up over 50%. Food prices are all up. Used cars are up almost 50%. Reckless government spending, which is what the Democrats are doing, is causing inflation. It's hurting our poorest families.
The White House says the bipartisan deal includes $550 billion in funding for public transit, passenger rail, bridge construction, clean drinking water, and broadband internet. The pandemic is turning out to be very good for Pfizer's financial health. The U.S. pharmaceutical giant is raising its forecast for vaccine sales to $33.5 billion this year. And now the New York-based pharmaceutical company says a third dose of its vaccine protects against the Delta variant. Correspondent Allison Keyes.
Pfizer released data that finds a third dose of the vaccine can ramp up protection against the Delta variant by more than five times in people between the ages of 18 and 55 and by more than 11 times in seniors. The company says it could apply for an emergency use authorization for a potential booster shot as early as August. Pfizer says a third shot will likely be needed to enhance protection in many nations as they are seeing a rise in infections.
A trip to London just got easier. Rory O'Neill reports.
Traveling to England will be less complicated if you're vaccinated. The transport secretary announcing that vaccinated travelers from the European Union and the U.S. will not have to quarantine when arriving in England. Travelers will have to complete a pre-departure test before arriving, along with a PCR test a day or two before landing. The minister also announcing that the U.K. will allow international cruises to start sailing again from British ports.
Gunmaker Remington is offering $33 million to settle a lawsuit filed by families of Sandy Hook Elementary School victims. Correspondent Sarah Bartlett.
The lawsuit claims Remington's marketing of AR-15s contributed to the 2012 massacre that killed 20 kids and six adults. The offers by the bankrupt gunmaker were filed a day after a Connecticut Supreme Court judge ruling that denied Remington's request to dismiss the lawsuit. The settlement would pay nine families well over $3 million each.
And a religious conservative in the U.S. Senate is being challenged by a young minister. Greg Clugston reports.
Republican Senator James Lankford is a devout Baptist who opposes abortion and excessive government spending. It seems he has the necessary conservative credentials to win re-election in deep red Oklahoma. But Lankford finds himself under fierce attack by a challenger in his own party. Jackson Lawmeyer is a 29-year-old evangelical minister and political newcomer who accuses Lankford of not being conservative enough.
Still to come this Wednesday, COVID-related changes for state workers in New York, more potential delays to cross into Canada, and making your church welcoming to special needs families.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley with our Family Life Forecast. Fairly quiet conditions as we head through this evening and tonight. A few clouds over central Pennsylvania locations for a while this evening. Most of the region seeing mainly clear skies for the better part of the overnight period, but a few clouds working their way into western New York and western Pennsylvania later at night. It'll be an unsettled Thursday for us tomorrow with clouds and showers and thundershowers spreading from west to east across the region as we head through the day. The activity will wind down as we head through tomorrow night. Maybe another shower or two in a couple of spots on Friday morning, but then partial clearing through the day. Temperatures a bit cooler in many areas, especially New York locations, which will just barely get into the 70s on Friday. Pennsylvania spots still well up in the 70s on Friday afternoon.
Thank you, Ken. Governor Cuomo says all state employees must either be vaccinated or submit to weekly testing by Labor Day. And when it comes to the latest CDC guidance on masks,
I encourage all local governments to do the same. It's smart, it's fair, It's in everyone's interest.
Cuomo says within state hospitals, all workers who come into contact with patients must get the vaccine by Labor Day.
So in New York and our state hospitals, all patient-facing healthcare workers must get vaccinated. There will be no testing option.
But is this legal? Attorney James Grasso tells Spectrum News, yes.
No one can force them to be vaccinated, but the consequence may be that, that they won't be able to meet the conditions of working wherever they're employed and as a result lose their job.
Cuomo says he's also concerned about schools and what could happen in spots with low vaccination rates. U.S. residents may face another delay when it comes to driving across the border into Canada next month. Family Life's Dee Haley has details.
Fully vaccinated Americans planning to drive to Canada beginning in August may have to deal with more border crossing issues. The Canada Border Services Agency reports a majority of employees have voted to strike. Members have reportedly been without a contract since June of 2018 and could begin strike action as soon as August 6th. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. Police say a man from Macedon, New York, in Wayne County drowned while fishing with his son after their dog fell into the Erie Canal and he jumped in to try and save it. Local police chief says,
true tragedy, you know, for a young individual to have to experience that and witness it. It's a true tragedy for somebody who does live in our community. We remind people that the canal is a beautiful resource, but it could also be a dangerous resource.
The dog was rescued and the boy was reunited with his family. Next at 5, an advocate for special needs families believes memories of pandemic isolation can inspire churches to better reach out to families who always feel isolated.
Sandra, what do you see as the characteristics of a church that feels inviting to special needs families?
Well, that is a great place to start. Special needs families are so used to there being barriers to things that we want to do. There are barriers in the school system. There's barriers sometimes with the doctors that we see. And so the last place we want to face barriers is when we go to church. Mm. And so lots of us, if we're looking for a new church, the first place we look is on their website. Does it look like they welcome special needs families? Are there special needs families in the pictures that they have of their church? Is there any kind of special needs ministry listed under ministries or even under children's ministry? That's where you'll find it most often.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking for those things that tell us even before we pull up on a Sunday morning that this church might be welcoming to us.
Mm. So in your experience, and you have a vast experience, how likely is it that a church is already doing well at embracing special needs families?
Well, I think that's interesting. In fact, Lifeway Research did a study on this right before the COVID pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found was that nearly every pastor, 99%, and almost every churchgoer, 97%, says that someone with a disability would feel welcomed and included at their church. Now, what's interesting is when I talk to families, mm-hmm. you're not finding 99% of families who agree with that stat. And so there's a disconnect there between what pastors believe to be true about their church and what families are actually experiencing.
So what do you think prevents congregations from seeing and filling the need?
Well, I think they're just intimidated by all of the possibilities. I think, you know, we're all scared of what we don't know, what mm-hmm. we don't have experiences with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the most welcoming and inclusive churches, you often talk to the pastor and he has a family member with a disability, or somebody on the church leadership has a family member with a disability. And so that opens doors. I like to say every church that welcomes us gets better at welcoming the next family that comes. But what special needs families are looking for is just to know that their children are loved and that they're safe. And every church can do that.
Mm. It just seems like this great opportunity right now, as many churches are opening up, to say, what are our priorities and how might we do things differently or better than we'd done before?
Well, I do agree with you that this is an amazing opportunity. I mean, the COVID season opened people's eyes to isolation and what special needs families and adults with disabilities experience when they are isolated. And so most of us didn't have access to our church. And so we have more empathy now for families that don't have access to a church on any Sunday because of the limitations on where they can go and what they can do and where they feel comfortable. And so I'm hoping, I'm praying that pastors and church leadership will remember what that felt like, and they will want to remove barriers so that other families don't continue to feel that way. And a lot of it is just asking questions and being open. And, you know, you just kind of look around your church and you say, who do we have that we could ask questions of that would make them feel more comfortable? And then once those families feel more comfortable, they'll invite their friends.
Uh-huh.
And it just, like, I feel like special needs families are missionaries. We have this mission field of other families like ours. And once we know a church welcomes us and makes accommodations for us, then we'll invite everybody we know, because we're all looking for connection and community and the gospel, even if we don't know that the gospel's what's missing from our lives.
That's inclusion coordinator and special needs mom and sibling Sandra Peoples speaking with Family Life's Martha Manikas Foster. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features by visiting familylife.org and clicking on the podcast link under the radio tab. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Stocks finishing mixed after the Federal Reserve helped drive what happened on Wall Street today. The central bank left interest rates at their historic lows. Chairman Jerome Powell later said the Fed is keeping a close eye on the rising number of COVID cases. To round out Wednesday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 127 points, the S&P fell less than a point, and the NASDAQ gained 102. Ambassador Advisors, a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. 50 years ago today, Wells Fargo launched the first index fund, a mutual fund designed to simply match the performance of a stock index, such as the S&P 500. The first fund wasn't available to the general public, and it took a couple of years to get all the kinks worked out. But eventually, index funds gained their footing. Today, money in index funds accounts for about 40% of long-term stock market assets. Index funds are attractive because they have very low expense ratios and tend to perform quite well over time. If you find investing puzzling, learn more about index funds, especially big ones that track the S&P 500 or other large sections of the market. Indexes offer a simple, low-cost way to invest for your future. Manage your finances wisely with the easy-to-use MoneyWise app. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance from your app store or learn more at moneywise.org.
Up next, Drive Home Sports with Family Life's Sonny Delfiat.
Thank you, Tracy. After winning four more medals in swimming yesterday, the U.S. is back in the pool tonight looking to add more hardware. American Caleb Dressel aims for gold in the men's 100-meter freestyle final. Other medal events include the men's 800-meter freestyle, men's 200-meter breaststroke, women's 200-meter butterfly, and the women's 4x200-meter freestyle relay. Stateside, the Oakland Athletics acquired former Pirate center fielder Sterling Marte from the Miami Marlins in exchange for left-hander Jesus Luzardo today. The New York Yankees traded relievers Luis Sessa and Justin Wilson to Cincinnati for a player to be named. Sources say Max Scherzer could approve a trade to any of the West Coast teams pursuing a deal for the Nationals ace, but he's ruled out Houston and Philadelphia's destinations. In action, the Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 4-1 in the first game of their doubleheader. Cleveland crushes the Cardinals 7-2. Later, the Yankees play at Tampa. Pirates host Milwaukee. Nationals and Phillies battle. Mets host Atlanta. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiat.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley with our Family Life forecast. Fairly quiet conditions as we head through this evening and tonight. A few clouds over central Pennsylvania locations for a while this evening. Most of the region seeing mainly clear skies for the better part of the overnight period, but a few clouds working their way into western New York and western Pennsylvania later at night. It'll be an unsettled Thursday for us tomorrow with clouds and showers and thundershowers spreading from west to east across the region as we head through the day. The activity will wind down as we head through tomorrow night. Maybe another shower or two in a couple of spots on Friday morning, but then partial clearing through the day. Temperatures a bit cooler in many areas, especially New York locations, which will just barely get into the 70s on Friday. Pennsylvania spots still well up in the 70s on Friday afternoon.
Thank you, Ken. Finally at 5, when you think of New Jersey, you may think first of beaches.
Hooray, hooray, the time has
Well, 9 service areas along the Garden State Parkway are being renamed in honor of New Jersey icons. The Turnpike Authority announced the changes Tuesday on what's been recognized by NationalDayCalendar.com as National New Jersey Day. The changes include the Whitney Houston service area in Union and Bon Jovi service area in South Amboy. Others to be honored include broadcast journalist Connie Chung, baseball player Larry Doby, and singer Frank Sinatra. Governor Phil Murphy's office says the service areas will contain Hard Rock Cafe-style exhibits and artifacts, and even interactive Wall of Fame videos.
Cleveland's got Larry Doby, Brooklyn's got Jackie Robinson.
And that's the world we live in this 28th of July. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
The 5 o'clock report was brought to you in part by support from Diana Flo from RE/MAX Titanium Real Estate. Diana is a realtor who assists in purchase and sale.